Hello and welcome back to Feet First, a podcast focusing on the front of the pack in the UK trail and ultra running scene. Continuing this week, our coverage of the Arc of Attrition with a conversation with Simon Withers, who came second in the men's 100-mile race. We spoke to Simon before the race. He went in as one of the top 10. He came third last year, tied with Hugh Tibbs. And this year he took over an hour off his time to finish in 19:14. That's just 25 minutes or so behind the course record in a year where the weather and the conditions underfoot really were not in the runner's favour. Simon lives in Portsmouth, where he's quite involved in the run club scene down there. He's also run in the past some of Centurion's events, coming fifth at the South Downs 100 in 2025, but he's still quite new to running, having only taken up the sport in 2022. So it's really exciting to see the trajectory he's on and really gratifying to see the result he was able to achieve at the Arc of Attrition, finishing just a few minutes behind the men's winner, Hugh Tibbs. As ever, if you enjoy the podcast, please do give it a rating wherever you're listening. We are one rating away from 60 perfect five-star reviews on Spotify. So if you've got a good review to leave, please do. You can also write a written review on some channels, which really helps the podcast get noticed as well. If you want to keep up with the podcast, you can follow us on social media at RunFeetFirst or head to runfeetfirst.co.uk. And lastly, it just remains for me to thank Petzl for supporting the podcast and helping keep this coverage going. If you haven't heard of Petzl, they have been at the forefront of hands-free lighting solutions, not just in running, but in all kinds of sports and activities for the best part of 50 years. Their unique reactive lighting technology, which is developed exclusively by them, provides the right lighting at the right time, sensing, adapting, and responding to your surroundings. Petzl have just released the brand new Swift LT. This is an ultra lightweight 43-gram 380 lumen head torch. It's the perfect backup head torch for your next ultra marathon, but it's also a brilliant primary head torch when you're just heading out and about on your local trails or the roads to make sure that you are seen. This super, super lightweight head torch just sits down the back of your pack. You won't even know it's there. If you want to check that out, then head to the Centurion Ultra Running Store, another partner of the show, and you can check out all of Petzl's collection there and use the code FEETFIRST10 to get 10% off your next order. All right, here is Simon Withers. Alrighty, welcome back to our final live stream of the day. We're here with Simon Withers. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Nice.
Pleasure to have you. You've been someone who's been, I guess, without wanting to blow smoke on my own ass, been on my radar for a while in terms of getting on the podcast, but it's never happened before. When someone's been on the show for the first time, I think it's always helpful to have a bit of an intro, a bit of a sense of what they're bringing to the table from a running background. So could you kind of set the scene for us? What's your running journey been so far?
Yeah, okay. It's quite a relevant intro for the Arc of Attrition because I started running 2022.
Right.
When I moved to Land's End in Cornwall.
What a place to live.
Yeah, wow. I know.
What brought you there?
Work and slightly hard to find accommodation in Cornwall, so I ended up in Land's End.
Wow.
Needed a hobby in the week, so took up running and trail running, obviously.
Yeah.
That's all you've got, and did my first park run down there, all that sort of thing.
Land's End park run, I've done it.
It was good. It's generally a nice park run, I'd recommend it. Slowly got into that, did a couple of trail marathons, did better than I'd ever expect for a beginner runner, and then thought next year I'll come back after I've moved back to Portsmouth, do the Lizard to Land's End race, which is called Classic Quarter. Or there was a Mud Crew one before that, actually.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to do them. I actually did both within 6 weeks.
Oh,
so
right. On the same route?
Same course, yeah.
Wow.
So I did that. And then I was like, well, 100 miles coming at some point.
Yeah.
And then obviously Arc of Attrition is going to come. So yeah, ran the Arc of Attrition last year, which was probably my most standout result, let's say.
You finished third, right, alongside Hugh Tibbs.
Exactly.
I was curious, but I want to talk about that race, but before that I'm just curious, starting running in 2022, you've done pretty well in the few years you've been running. Did you have any kind of athletic background prior to that, anything you were bringing to it?
Nothing like competitive, but like I think my dad did a lot of long distance cycling,
right.
So I think that I did a bit, as a kid, and like a few 100-mile rides, things like that. Nothing too regular, no like dedicated training, but I think enough is clearly, and then played a bit of football like everyone does, but I'll be honest, I should have realised far sooner that I was better at the running than the bit with the ball. Yeah. Getting to great positions, but when the ball came to me, it was all pretty hopeless.
I don't play much football. On the times I have, I've realised endurance is a strength. Just keep running at the opposition.
Yeah.
It's confusing them.
That's all I had. Like, I was, towards the end of my football career, I think linesman was my main position, to be honest. So nice. I thought it's probably best to stop that and focus on the running.
Yeah. Putting last year's arc to one side, which we'll talk about, are there other races that you would think of as like standout or demonstrative of your skill set? I know you've had a long-term relationship with a race I love very much, the North Downs Ridge 50K.
Yeah.
What's some races that you've run as well apart from that?
Okay, so the first 100 miler is very similar to the arc, North Devon, North Coast 110.
Right.
So that was quite nice. And
that must be rough, North Devon.
Yeah, it is. Hilly. Yeah, it's a bit hilly, yeah. Slightly bigger hills than the arc, but less of them, I guess.
Right.
But I think coast path running seems to be the one because I guess I'm used to it. Ultra Trail Snowdonia is one I've done. I'd say that didn't go very well. So, which is understandable, I'd say. I think generally being now living in Portsmouth, South Downs Way and races in the South Downs, rolling hills.
Yeah.
No mountains, I don't think we're built for them.
You ran South Downs last year, right?
Last 2 years.
And you managed fifth place last year.
Yeah.
That's a race that's getting increasingly competitive. Well, yeah, is that an attractive thing for you, or is that an annoying thing?
No, it's good.
Because 15:32, I think you ran, which is
a
stellar performance.
Yeah.
But to come fifth with that, it must be a bit...
Yeah. Well, just before we started filming, I was telling you about the North Downs Ridge.
Yeah.
And I finished 15th, I think, then fifth.
Yeah.
Then I won.
Yeah.
I finished, I think, 14th, South Downs Way.
Oh.
And then fifth.
There we go.
So...
you're running this year?
I might. I'm not so sure yet.
I've heard Mark Derbyshire is running this year.
Yeah.
And Hugh Sibbs as well.
That's nice.
So it'll be a stacked field again.
Yeah. No, but it's good. You need competition to keep pushing yourself. I don't... Doesn't matter about position. It's just there's time to win in a few years maybe. But
I mean...
Just want to race.
Are you still noticing that trajectory improving in terms of your performance? You're still in the first few years of your running journey, I guess.
Yeah, I think... I am still going up. All my... it's easier to check both road times, but my road times are going up. My UTMB index is going up.
Nice.
I can feel myself getting fitter, so
I
know I'm on the right way, and I'll stop at some point, but let's see how far we go before that happens.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the arc last year. So you ran the 100.
Yep.
You finished side by side with Hugh. I've not actually ever talked to Hugh about that race. How quickly in the race did you find yourself in that podium position?
So me and Hugh started out together. We ran the first, I think, 120K together, pretty much. But we were started out conservatively. Not conservatively enough, I'd say. we managed to get into third by Land's End.
And did you know each other before that?
We knew each other before, and we'd done a recce together as well.
Right.
And we met each other on a backyard ultra in London.
Right.
And we were the last two people left. So we had far too much time to chat to each other. And we'd done the South Downs Way. We started together until Hugh just left me behind. And that was his first one. So I was like, oh, no. Yeah. Good person to know, I guess.
Built different.
Yeah, built different, yeah. I thought I'd develop quickly, but it turns out no, Hugh's got it. And then from Land's End, we were third, pretty much the whole way, and we split up a little bit, and then we kind of he caught me back up. So it was just, lucky. We were very even on that course, I think.
Was there a conversation around, oh no, you go ahead or you go ahead? Or was it hey, let's just finish this together?
How I think there wasn't really... We didn't really discuss finishing together. We were still pushing on as hard as we could at that point. I feel like the slightly fast start might have didn't look like we're running fast, maybe, but I promise you it was hard.
Yeah.
Not really a conversation, but outrunning your mate for 5 meters at the finish line, what's the point?
You might
as well. So.
Yeah. So what's drawn you back to the race this year? The experience last year wasn't tough enough.
I'm now regretting it now with the weather forecast.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's hard to see if you're improving in trail running, right? Because all the races are different lengths, different hills, whatever. So if you do the same race twice, like the North Downs Ridge, like the South Downs Way, you know if you're getting better. And I genuinely, from being down here, it's kind of like a home race. Mm-hmm. I know the trails really well. It's fun. It's a race in January. There's not very many in January.
Yeah.
A good way to start the year, maybe. Hugh's doing it as well. So why not have a catch up for 120K?
Nice. Finish second together this time.
Well, maybe, yeah. I might have to. Don't let him know, but I think I've got him on the sprint.
How are you feeling about the conditions? Because last year you had this amazing... I know you got some rough weather in the first bit, but broadly speaking, it was a fast,
it was pretty dry,
cold year. And this year, a lot of rain. I mean, it's raining now. It's been raining for a week, it feels like.
Yeah.
Is that something you're looking forward to? Or
I think I'll make the race harder. I think probably more people drop out. I think I'm going to take it. I'm kind of like, I'm happy if the weather's bad, because it's bad for everyone, but I think it might suit me a little bit, because it kind of slows the whole race down.
Yeah.
And like, maybe I'm quite good on this course, but I'm probably not the fastest person in the race. I'm certainly not as fast as Hugh.
Mm.
But if it's, you're wading through mud, it doesn't really matter how fit you are. So I'll actually kind of take the bad weather. I say that now. Watch me DNF after, like, well, before we even start. I'm not looking forward to the start. The hour you've got to stand in the car park in the cold.
Is it that long?
It's pretty much that long, yeah. You put on all your mandatory kit before you start.
I haven't run this course, but I've heard the early miles are pretty packed.
It's actually almost the hardest bit, I'd say, from like Coverack to Lizard. Obviously you're fresh, but if that was at the end, people would complain how hard it is. It's not an easy start.
Yeah.
Hopefully it might warm us up tomorrow.
And are there sections where you think, oh, this is playing to my strengths? Like, as an athlete, I feel like, for instance, Hugh Tibbs, we know he can run flat stuff fast.
Yeah, yeah.
But he'd be the first to admit that, like, big hills, maybe he's not as much of a fan of. So
yeah.
Are there sections you're like, oh, this is where I can maybe gain an advantage?
The technical sections, which like hard. I don't think they're generally... Everyone say the hardest bits are from like Zena. So from like Land's End to like St. Ives.
Yes, that's what everyone talks about.
Yeah. But I think it's the slowest. I don't think it's the hardest in terms of like fitness, because you can't really run that fast because the course slows you down. There's lots of rocks, lots of steps, twisty bits, mud. But I think that bit does suit me, because I think I'm pretty good at the technical trails.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm kind of strongish on hills, not compared to anyone in Europe, but like compared to people in the UK.
Yeah.
I think I'm kind of okay compared to, you know, people like Hugh, right, who live in London, and they're really, really fast. But yeah, obviously there's no hills. So I'm looking forward to that bit from like, just after Land's End to St. Ives.
Home turf.
Yeah, exactly. I'll run past where I first started running.
Yeah.
First ever runs, really. So
that's awesome. What industry brought you down to Cornwall?
I work in engineering.
Right.
And my company has a factory in Redruth, so not so far from here.
Right.
Not quite sure why. They're an American company, but they have a factory in Redruth. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Interesting you mentioned the Europeans. Like, this race is increasingly attracting an international crowd. We've had a couple of American athletes on the show today. Where do you stand on that from, like, as an athlete perspective? Does that depth attract you, or is it a bit of a
absolutely, like, I'm gonna do races that I know I can't win or can't do well. It's just really good to test yourself. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how I stack up tomorrow, because I know a lot of these athletes have run like UTMB, which I'm doing this year. So I want to know, I've got a great way to work out what my UTMB time might be, because if I finish with them, maybe equal, you know, if I'm way behind on a course that suits me, then maybe stick to the UK. So generally, like, get as fast athletes as possible. And
it's fascinating, isn't it? Like, the UTMB model means that athletes such as yourself, if I can say that, like, great national level runners are now going to be given that opportunity because of your podium last year to go to the World Series, where to finish in the top 100 would be an achievement in some sense. So that must be pretty exciting to have that on your
calendar. It's crazy.
And to have, do you get an elite bib or something?
I don't really know how it works. We do get, well, we didn't have to go through the lottery. I think it's the only benefit.
You get a guaranteed place.
The lottery came out today. I don't know if you applied 20 of
those. This is my last chance I can apply before I have to get more stones, so I might.
I think it's happened today.
Oh, okay, I won't.
Okay. I was going to say, I know a lot of people that sadly weren't very successful.
I'm not, which is
hard, because, it makes it a challenge.
I definitely wasn't successful.
Yeah. I'm just very grateful that I could get it through art.
No, that's the lottery for this year. Or for next year.
It's great that I was gonna do ARC anyway last year, but when it became UTMB, then it got me a chance at the actual UTMB World Finals. It kind of was perfect.
Nice. And what does your like roadmap look like to that event then? If you've got, I mean, you're doing 100 mile in January, so you've started the year with
early,
a bang,
right?
So you're gonna sort of wind down a bit and then build up?
I don't really know. I'm doing the London Marathon in
cool.
in end of April, so I think I'm gonna train for that as a road runner, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then try to see how fast I can get, and then maybe focus on UTMB after that and running basically as many hills as possible.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not really sure what my training is for that. Maybe South Downs Way again. Mm-hmm. Maybe another shorter trail race in France or something, like a mountain race would be really nice. They're fun as well. Like some of the local ones are really good. So yeah, we'll see. But no, I haven't planned yet. See how tomorrow goes.
Yeah, that makes sense. That specificity though, because I think it's a really good tactic to like train for a fast marathon early in the season, and then build those mountain legs out rather than trying to do both at the same time.
Yeah, I generally think like any of the results that anyone will have, it's your 100 mile time is very related to your 5k time or how fast you are as a runner.
Yeah,
there's obviously lots of things to get right and things to learn, like nutrition things, but you need to be fast to start with.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm going to work on.
I was thinking about that the other day. I can't remember the context, but I was thinking, is there a literally one-to-one conversion between someone's 5k time in minutes and their 100 mile time in hours?
I
don't think it's quite that, but like
it's hard because of the courses, because the 100 mile courses are like,
yeah,
because it's you know, the South Downs Way times were like 15 hours for me last year, and this one was 20 hours for me last year.
Yeah,
I did like one in the Pyrenees, it was 28 hours.
Maybe it's like a plus or minus three thing.
Yeah,
but like if you're a 17 minute 5k runner, maybe you could probably do a 17 hour 100 miler, like
on the South Downs Way, something like that. I think you generally can. I think it's a really good way to like check if you know your 5k time or marathon time. Maybe just look at the results last year, look someone up on Run Britain, check their marathon time, and then you know roughly where you should fit in. I don't know, that's how I did it when I first started,
because
I had no idea what time to try and run 100 miles in.
That's so interesting as well, because I've run 100 miles twice, and both times I've gone extremely cautious and extremely conservative, and had a great experience because I didn't blow up.
Good point.
But the part of me, there's a back part of me in the back of my mind that sees what you guys do, and I'm like, I should just see. I should just see what happens.
Yeah, I know.
It's not like, not go out too hard, but just like run it well, like run it strong.
Yeah.
Because the actual average pace required to run 15:32 is what, like 5:50?
Yeah, it was like 5:50, I think.
Yeah,
or
per kilometer. So it's not crazy fast.
No. You can keep it up for 50 miles.
Yeah.
You can get halfway and feel kind of okay.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, it might just go badly, but like it's fine. That's where I am at the moment, because every race I'm like doing kind of slightly better. I don't know what my limit is.
No.
So like you might as well just race it and see what happens.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Find that limit.
But not go off too fast tomorrow.
No, that's this is a race where you can really pay for it, right? What's the long term? You're still quite new to running. I think Hugh, when he was on the podcast once, he said he's still like a kid in a sweet shop, which it feels like you kind of are.
Yeah.
Although you're gravitating towards certain sweets again and again. UTMB aside, which I'm sure will be this amazing like bucket list experience no matter how you do. Do you have a sense of like, okay, in the next 5 years, this is something I'd like to achieve? Like I want to do a Bob Graham, or I want to do a thing. Like what are those things on your list that are like attracting you?
I quite like racing. So I think I'd stay away from some of the FKTs and the challenges and fastest times and things like that for a while. I don't really want to do any, because as you start, I start doing a 50K, 100K, 100 miles. I don't want to do a 200 miles. I think like I'd stick to the races with like good fields, good races, try and beat some fast runners, I guess. So I don't know, I feel like we'll see how UTMB goes, but I feel like I'm on that. I'll do UTMB and then I might try and do UTMB again, like I don't know, see how high I can get in that. But yeah, I haven't really planned this far in advance. I never thought I'd get this to get into this position.
But your name's on that that top 10, is it top 10?
Yeah, top 10 list.
That's pretty, it must be a pretty exciting moment.
I know, right?
It's seeing it there.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a surprise, really.
Yeah.
I was half hoping I'd be 11th.
That's the best place to be, because no one's watching you.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you think's like, when you think about trail running as a sport, it's kind of on this, I feel like there's this spectrum, it's probably more than one dimension, but one of them is like performance and adventure. And I feel like there are athletes who are like, you know, I feel like Tom Evans is very drawn to the performance side of the sport, quite clearly. And then you've got other athletes like maybe someone like Ricky Gates, who's very much about the adventure. You seem to be interested in both. But you've also got this kind of engineering mindset of like data oriented. So when you think about just the underpinning motivations of what's exciting you about the sport, do you have a...
Well, that's kind of why I'd never really until this race, done the same 100 miler before, because it's not an adventure if you do it again. Because like now tomorrow, like I know exactly my splits.
Yeah.
But you know, it's now like running a road marathon, but like four times as long. And every kilometer I'll be like, oh, a bit slower than last year.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Like my heart rate's higher. Like, so it's tomorrow's not an adventure.
Right. Yeah.
I know the course well, and it's in the dark. You can't see anything anyway.
Be different weather though.
Well, yeah.
And that might make it.
Yeah, it might be actually. But it certainly started off that way. Now it's, and I really enjoyed doing our race in the Pyrenees that we did last year, me and Hugh, and like, because it was, I never recce'd it. I had no idea where I was going. Like, it was far harder than I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And that's like, that was more adventure than performance, right? Just get round and see what your time is.
Yeah.
So I would like a few more races like that.
Yeah.
Somewhere like you've never been.
Yeah.
Like, you might as well, yeah, go to some country and do the local race, run around the countryside. Because when are you ever going to get to see the whole of the national park? Like,
yeah.
You know, if you go on holiday, you'll go drive up one hill, you won't run 100 miles around it, so you might as make the most of it.
Nice.
We can, let's
We were chatting before the start about the Portsmouth run club scene.
Yeah,
I'm just curious to get your take on the run club scene generally. It sounds like something that's been central to your journey and running.
Yeah absolutely. So you know, you'll only, you need support and people to like encourage you to do things, and in Portsmouth now there's so many running clubs. So the Mondays, I was there last night doing a helping with a track session, but like running late, great. Like I've met so many friends from it and things like that, and everyone's so encouraging, and everyone's either there for fun or to get a little bit better and things like that. And you can take like inspiration from literally anyone. Like, and I'm sure people might take it from me, but it works both ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's nice. And there's now, I can run every day of the week and not run by myself.
Yeah.
So it's great.
And have a beer every day of the week.
Yeah, I've got to be careful on that one. I didn't have a beer on Monday.
Yeah.
Blackcurrant and lemonade is the go-to drink.
Oh, nice.
After the Mondays.
Bit of electrolytes in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we're all safe.
Nice.
But yeah, it's honestly a really, really great place for running. And then there's the Athletics Club, which I now train with. And yeah, friends do trail runs. And yeah, it's genuinely one of the best places for running. I don't know too many other places, but I feel like it must be up there with London. Like, it's generally very good.
I think the club scene is something that we've all we've benefited from, in terms of, like, I'm a relatively decent trail runner. I'm not as good as you, but I'm relatively decent. But on the track, when I run with some people, I'm like, oh my god, like,
yeah.
I am nowhere near
yeah.
what I could be, and that's inspiring in a way,
yeah,
to like push
exactly.
it forwards.
You like, because when you start running, and I started doing park run, I was like, Land's End Park Run, I did my first one in March. There was like 15 people there.
Yeah.
And like, I was very lucky to like win my first one.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm great. Like, and then like,
I think
2 weeks later, someone was on the holiday from London and he ran it with his, like, a buggy and his like 2-year-old in it. And he absolutely demolished me. And then, you know, and then you go to my first like athletics club session and all those people don't do park run.
No.
And suddenly they're like running like, you know, sub 15 5Ks and stuff.
Yeah,
you're like, where are all these people? And
yeah.
then yeah, you realize that, oh, hang on, these are where the fast people are. And yeah,
it speaks to what you were saying earlier about the competition in trail running, right? Like, racing with or running, seeing someone who's better than you, kind of elevating your own performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a result.
Yeah. But generally the track sessions are the thing that's like got me start going maybe like a year ago or year and a half, and that's the thing that's help me get faster, I think.
Do you have a favorite workout off the top of your head?
Oh, I quite
or
like
are there
the
least favorite that you know.
No, I quite like occasionally do like 10 times 1K or something.
Oh.
I'm way stronger in the with like a short break, so it's like maybe like threshold.
Yeah.
I'm way stronger in those than I am in like the really short ones.
Yeah.
I'm not outrunning anyone in a 400-meter rep.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Yeah. Nice. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing how your race goes. I hope to see you and Tibbs.
Yeah.
Side by side, or one of you dragging the other one along.
Try and drop him at some point.
Yeah. He's not good at uphills, just drop him.
Yeah, I know. I've got to do it before the flat section after St. Ives.
I say don't tell he's not good at uphills, like I could possibly beat him on an uphill, but obviously.
Also, you shouldn't see his walking speed, it's insane.
Yeah, like, he's a big guy.
Yeah, he is.
Long
yeah.
legs.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his secret. But it'll be interesting to see how the international athletes that are in the mix play out. And I know there's a really good Finnish runner who's in there who. Talk about home advantage, but I think in Finland the weather's probably worse, so he's probably even more better. We always close the podcast when someone's on for the first time with the same question, which is, what do you think is the most important thing when it comes to success in ultra running?
Oh, I think that's a hard one. I'd say, I think either it's genuinely just enjoy what you're doing. If you're, because for me, I'm enjoying the training, I'm getting faster, I'm making friends, and then it just sort of snowballs from there. I'm never trying hard to force myself going out for a run. So whatever you're doing, even if you're training just to finish the arc, if you've made some friends from it and something like that, and you're having fun, then you'll be successful.
Amen.
And also, it's not about the running at the end of the day, is it? It's about everything else. Just enjoy it, and then you'll get lots of good places. So yeah.
Nice one. Simon Withers, thanks so much. Yeah,
thank you very much. Cheers.
Cheers.
So my friend, I really should have mentioned that. My friend's crewing me, one of them, Helen, she's
actually... We're actually still recording on GarageBand, so if you want to, I can edit it in.
Yeah, if you want.
It doesn't really matter too much. About your crew. So let's talk about crew.
Okay. I've made a mistake here.
Tell me about your crew.
Well, okay. I've got Helen at the Airbnb, who's crewing me. Very good ultra runner. She finished sixth in the South Downs Way this year.
Oh, nice one.
And was part of the winning team, which was... there was me, Helen, Helen's brother, Peter.
That's the World Trail Majors team thing.
Hugh Tibbs. And Louise as well. So like we had... There was a good few
what
of
a
us.
Team.
Yeah, I know. Strong team. We did well. But anyway... Helen said, make sure you mention me first, so then I can go out and go for a run. She said she wanted to go for a run by 4:15.
Oh, so sorry, we're not live anymore.
Yeah.
We're just recording. But Helen, you did get a shout out, don't worry.
Yeah. And Pri as well, who crewed me last year and is honestly, if anyone needs a crew, like she's the best crew you can find.
Pro crew. I'm crewing tomorrow.
Wait till you see our changeovers. Where are you going to be?
All of the main crew points. There's only four, isn't there?
Yeah. So, who are you crewing?
My friend Alex Sawbridge.
Are they going to be... Oh, I think I know that name.
He's done reasonably well at South Downs Way before.
Okay, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
He was sixth in 2020. He was sixth in 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, nice. Okay, 100. Well, yeah. Well,
he's not quite at your level. But he's good.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. I'm genuinely excited for our crew stops. I think we're gonna have the quickest pit stops of the race. That's what we're going for.
What makes you so confident in that?
We were pretty good last year, but like
you got a plan. Like
we've got a plan. Yeah. It's like just like a handover. Like
nice. So
we're good. Lots of Excel and
good. I'm a fan. Yeah, spreadsheets. Yeah. There we go. We'll edit that in.
Yeah. No. Don't worry about it.
Quick thank you to the Centurion Ultra Running Store for supporting Feet First. Centurion are the leading independent ultramarathon and trail running store here in the UK. They've got all of your favourite brands in stock, and they've just taken stock of the new Salomon 2026 stock, as well as Coros watches, poles, everything you need to get ready for this year's season of ultra running. So if you want to check that out, head to centurionultrarunningstore.com. There'll be a link in the show notes, and you can use the code FEETFIRST10 for 10% off your next order. That's centurionultrarunningstore.com, FEETFIRST10. That will help support the podcast and keep that spirit of independence alive in British ultra running. All right, back to Simon Withers. Well, Simon Withers, welcome back to Feet First, and congratulations on your result at Arc of Attrition.
Oh, thank you so much. Cheers, Ed.
Joining me from the office, how quickly did you get back into work? Tell me you had yesterday off.
No, back in on Monday.
Oh my gosh.
But it was good. Cycle to work as well, actually. So,
oh, very nice.
It's not so far, though. Good recovery.
Yeah, good to get the legs moving.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on your time. I wanted to ask you about how the race played out, because in the men's race, there was quite a lot of changing of positions.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but as the race played out, you know, people shifted. So those early miles, if we start with that first section through to Land's End, maybe, where did you find yourself and how was the race playing out for you?
I think generally as well, the race was exciting to follow if you were awake the whole time and following it through. So like at the start, going to Lizard, I think we were 12th, or I was 12th, sort of with Hugh near Sam Skinner, maybe just behind. I'm not sure how far behind the leaders, which is like Yuso, maybe 10 minutes even, or five or so. And then from there, we slowly moved up the field as, you know, maybe some people go off a little bit too hard. Everyone goes off too hard. We did ourselves. We were planning to go a bit slower, but we didn't quite. Well, planned to go a bit easier, maybe not slower. And then moved up, and it was only around with Hugh all the way until 75 kilometers, I'd say, where there's a technical section. And he let me go in front, and I wasn't planning to run off, but I'm just a little bit quicker on those sections, I guess. local knowledge and that sort of thing. And I just built a little gap, and I expected him to catch me by Land's End or when there's a bit more runnable section. But yeah, before I knew it, he was gone. And moved into second place. So I was third then. Moved into second place just before Porthcurno, where the Minac Theatre is, where I just caught Sam Skinner. But he was moving pretty well. Again, a bit of a technical section, so I think maybe I'm a little bit faster there. Got into Land's End, and I think I was 16 minutes behind Yuso, and I was like really fired up for a good chase there because I really like that section, the hard bit, the slow bit to St. Ives. And then kept getting time gaps off like strangers basically outside the course, and sometimes my crew, and I was catching them pretty quickly, maybe like 30 seconds a kilometer. So yeah, it's quite nice. I caught him just before St. Ives. And he was moving well as well, actually. And then I heard afterwards he dropped out. So it's pretty wet right before St. Ives. So I think he might have hurt himself before then. But I promise he was okay when I passed him. There was no foul play involved. but I hope he's okay now. Got into the lead by St. Ives. And when I heard Yuso pulled out, obviously I didn't really consider where Hugh was or anything like that, because I know the two people had passed. I'd gone past quite quick, and then obviously Hugh came back, and 6k to go on this hill. I knew it was coming. You can see the head torch over the hills, but 6k to go. I like looked backwards, and he was like right there. And then I had a big battle trying to hold him off, and then when he caught me, I was like right on his heels for a couple more k in the technical bits, and then there was a bit more running to do, and he used his. His running legs, I guess.
How intentional was sharing those early miles with Hugh as you did last year, finishing with Hugh? How intentional was that strategy, or did that just sort of come about naturally?
It's pretty natural because we're just the same pace, especially in those conditions and things, because like maybe he's slightly quicker at like the running sections, but I'm slightly quicker at the mud, let's say. Yeah. So it kind of evens out. We've done, last year I think we were together till about 120k. And then came back together at the end as well, because as we've learned here, I should have remembered the last year, he's quicker at the end. we've done a lot of races together now. It's pretty intentional. And it's also good because you have like someone that you can remind to eat, remind not to go off too hard. It's a really good gauge. It was kind of on purpose. It's nice. It's nice having a teammate, basically, pretty much.
Yeah, it's awesome to see some of the footage of you guys running alongside each other. How one thing I have to ask about is the weather at this event, which has kind of been amazing. It was a major talking point all weekend. How did that play out for you? Did it make things worse? Did you enjoy it? It was really rough through the night.
I think when I spoke to you before, I think I was actually like surprisingly like hyped up for the bad weather, because I think I knew that maybe it would help get a good like result in terms of position. Maybe not time, but it would make... There'll be more attrition for the arc of attrition, I guess. I was kind of excited for it. The hour wait at the start in the rain and the wind, not fun. That's not good. it really wasn't that nice, but it wasn't too bad. The wind was always in a good direction. It was strong, but genuinely it was behind us, I'd say. So I don't think that really slowed us down too much. Maybe the opposite, I don't know. And it was very muddy, but again, it's gonna be. And I think that helped me as well, because I don't know, I've fallen over enough times on this coast path already to know how to avoid it. So I didn't fall once apart from on the tarmac,
of course,
just leaving Penzance. So apart from that, I was pretty good on my feet. So I think the course probably could have been a bit faster, but I don't think there's as much in it as maybe some people might think. At least
I've heard a few people
front.
Say Penzance was the roughest bit, because it's like the most you're closest.
The seafront was awful. You're running along the seafront and the waves are like crashing over you, and you're getting absolutely soaked. It was like my coat was doing fine till that point, and then you have like salt water like in your mouth and like everywhere. It was really not very nice.
Oh, rank.
Yeah.
Last year you came third in 20 hours and 24 minutes, whereas Lewis Ryan managed to win in 19 hours and 22 minutes.
Yeah.
This year, you took over an hour off your time, finishing 19:14 to take home second, which seems remarkable to me given how much worse conditions were this year. Do you have a sense of where you managed to claw that extra hour?
Yeah, I think I knew last year Well, actually, I guess my race is kind of similar if you compare it to Hugh, because let's be honest, we finished almost the same time this year and the same time last year, and I was ahead of him again at St. Ives. So it's the time between St. Ives and St. Ives and the finish where I'm like losing a bit. And last year, I certainly lost quite a lot on that section to Lewis. So that's probably a big gain. I'm sure someone can work it out by looking at my splits. I might do it at some point, but I'm happy just taking the result. So that's certainly that bit. And in terms of, I think I got to Land's End maybe 20 minutes earlier, but I got to Penzance about the same time. So it was the hard bit from Penzance to Land's End, and then Land's End to St. Ives, where I kept on, I think, course record pace almost. And then I lost some at the end compared to Hugh, but probably still gained quite a lot over last year. And I think it's just because I'm just a quicker runner now. Pretty much. And it's just a little bit here and there.
Well, it's a huge result, and it sets you up well for other races later in the year where, you know, if you look at some of the times you were able to achieve in 2025, apply this maths to them.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's an exciting prospect.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I went for a run on Monday. I averaged like 5 minute Ks. I felt fine. So I'm like, oh, maybe you could go even harder or something. I don't know. So yeah, I feel, I don't know. I'm faster than I think I am, I think. And yeah, I'm looking forward to some of these new races because I think I can get an even quicker result. I kind of really want to do ARC again, like now, I just got to wait a year. It's kind of frustrating. But yeah, no, it's a really good sign. And last year when I did the race, I'd only been running since 2022, so 3 years pretty much. Now it's 4 years, so obviously I've got another, that's 33% improvement. And then if I do it next year, it's again 5 years instead of four, so it's quite a big improvement to be made. So I'm really looking forward to trying to have a go at that course record.
Oh, that's exciting to hear. Yeah, you were so close in a fair weather year. Who's to say?
Yeah, maybe.
It could have been possible. All the little slips and slides along the way.
Yeah.
Taking seconds off. Well, Simon, congratulations again. Super exciting result, and super exciting to see what you do later on this year.
Yeah, thank you very much. Cheers.